You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you that we feel overwhelmed by politics in our world. And we thank you that you came to be our leader, both on heaven and on earth. So help us to serve you as our leader. In your name we pray, amen. Well, I remember the first time I got to vote in a presidential election as a person that was over 18. You know, it's funny, I actually remember being younger, and we had a program for a while, maybe you remember, some years ago, I would say over 20 years ago, where they actually let children, you know, vote. It was like a polling thing, and then they reported what the children voted for. That was way long ago. But I remember the first time I got to register and to actually vote. I was in college, and I had done my research. I had attended a little debate that was at our college, and I had read the measures, and I was prepared. I knew where my polling place was, and I knew how late it was open, which is important when you're up late studying in college. So with about an hour to spare before polls closed, I had my relaxed studying clothes on and I left the dorm, Northern Arizona, Flagstaff, so it's cold in November. And I went to the polling place, I got in line, I showed him my ID, and the person scrolled down the list and she said, "You're not on the list." And I said, "Excuse me?" She goes, you're not here. We don't have a ballot for you. I'm sorry." And I said, well, how could this be?" And she said, "Well, have you always lived here?" No, I hadn't. I had just moved into the North Campus dorms because I wasn't a freshman anymore. She said, "Well, if you registered last year when you lived in Central Campus, your polling place is going to be in Central Campus." So, I walked down to Central Campus. Good thing I gave myself an hour because, you know, and I was going downhill, so that helped. And I got there, and right as I was getting to that polling place, a person stepped outside with a megaphone and had this very formal address. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but they yell something to the effect of, "Hear ye, hear ye!" There is exactly 45 minutes left in the presidential election of... I'm not going to tell you the year. You'll have to guess what year was my first year voting. And so I went in, and sure enough, my name was on the list. And she said, okay, please verify that you live at this address. And I said, no, I don't live at this address anymore. I moved to North Campus. She said, well, you can't vote here. You have to vote in the district where you live. And I said, well, I just tried that. And they said I wasn't on the list. She said, well, I can't let you. You have to go back and ask for a provisional ballot. Oh, I was so frustrated. We live in an imperfect world of politics. You know it. And forgive me for bringing the topic up. I know I'm treading in dangerous territory here at church this morning, but the Bible, the Word of God, brings the subject to our minds. It all has to do with Jesus asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? And there's two different titles that are being kicked around on that day when they're talking about Jesus. The first one is Son of Man. And the second one is Son of God. And here's the interesting thing. When you think about those titles, you might assume that Son of Man sounds like, you know, earthly, manly, being a human being. And that when you hear Son of God, you think heavenly, divine. But it's not so simple. In fact, it's almost a little counterintuitive. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do you think the Son of Man is? He is referring to an prophecy in the Hebrew Bible, according to the prophet Daniel. And Daniel had powerful visions, apocalyptic visions, of a struggle between good and evil on the earth, cosmic powers. And in Daniel's most famous vision, at the height of the conflict, a savior comes from the very heart of God, from the Ancient of Days. And this heavenly Savior, Daniel says, look, even though it's from God, the Savior looks like a Son of Man. So that title, Son of Man, often referred not to an earthly, humanly being, but to a divine Savior that was prophesied to come that happened to look like a human being. The title is actually more spiritual and heavenly. And when Jesus asked the disciples, they say, well, some think it was John the Baptizer, some think it was Elijah. And then Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? And of course, it's Peter. Peter that makes the confession. But Peter doesn't say you're the Son of Man. Peter says, you are the Messiah and the Son of the living God. Like I said in the children's sermon, Messiah means the anointed one. They would call their king Messiah. I say they, I mean the Hebrew people in Judah, in Israel. Furthermore, the king, an honorific title for an earthly king, was to call them a son of God, to indicate that they had been chosen from among the people, had the special place to rule the people with justice. The title Son of God was so popular for a king, for a political ruler, that even Rome used it. Even the emperor Caesar Augustus, we can find in the archaeological record, encouraged the empire to call him the Son of God. So when Peter tells Jesus, you are the Son of the living God, you are the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, he is saying Jesus is a leader and a ruler here on earth. And of course, from heaven, Son of God and Son of Man. Well, that's really good news. That's wonderful news for us, because when we live in this broken world, and it's been broken for a long time, you think about political strife, wow, they had it back then too. And people were frustrated. Frustrated with the division, frustrated with the name calling, with the negativity, with the propaganda. And so when Peter sees in Jesus a hope in this earth, a godly hope, ruler of both heaven and earth, he calls Jesus that leader, and Jesus says, yes. Yes, Peter, you got it right. That is who I am. And that is good news for us. It's good news because we can see in Jesus a leader, a Lord, a Savior that is from heaven and spiritual, but is also here with us on earth, someone who can be our leader, who we can really trust and put our faith in. Someone we can put our faith in. So what do you do? What do you do when you see Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How do you live that out? Well, in the reading this morning, what's so interesting is that as soon as Peter gets it and says, Jesus, you're the Son of God, then Jesus says to him and the disciples, shh, don't tell anyone. Keep it to yourself, okay? Keep it on the down low. Jesus did that because he didn't want them to all of a sudden unplug from the striving and the strife of their present day world. He wanted his disciples to stay in the game, as it were, to participate, to not just head out into the desert and start their own thing, right? He was tempted to do that, but no, he wanted his disciples to give and to serve in the world with the people, even when it feels broken and divided. But to do so with a hope and a confidence that Jesus has got our back and he is our ruler. The Apostle Paul drives this home when he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Point to a higher compass and a location that transcends, but still be in this world. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Each one of us is given spiritual gifts. Thank you, Tatiana, for reading this morning. If you've been given the gift to be prophetic, then prophesy. If you've been given the gift of leadership, then be diligent. If you are a caring and compassionate person, do so with cheer. If you are an encourager, an exhorter, exhortation, that means you say it how it is, you tell people the truth, then do that. If you have gifts of ministry and organization, do that. Give of yourself freely. Participate in this world, even when the processes seem far from perfect, even though, like I said at the beginning of the sermon, we feel like we're walking on dangerous ground, Jesus calls us to follow and to give of ourselves, give the gifts that we've been given. To see Jesus as our leader doesn't mean we check out. It means we definitely check in and we participate fully in things like elections, in voting, in reading, in researching, in studying the issues, in trying to keep an open mind and to hear the different vantage points and realize that we'll do the best that we can knowing that Jesus is our leader. It said in our reading from Isaiah this morning that the earth will wear out like a garment, that the stars will someday turn to dust, and that mosquitoes and gnats are not that different than human beings ourselves. but God's salvation will last forever. And that is what we put our faith in. So it was that presidential election when I was a sophomore in college. And they had already announced, hear ye, the polling places will be closing. And I was told I had to go back to North Campus. So now I'm running. I'm running in my study, lounging around pajama type clothes. People are looking at me going, why is that guy running? I run all the way back up to North Campus and I come back and the poll workers are like, what are you doing here again? You're not on the list. And I said, I know I'm not, but I live here and it's on my address. And they said, well, in that case, you will have a provisional ballot. You can vote, you can submit it, but it will be reviewed for accuracy. And I said, fine. And I got my ballot and I made my decisions and I sealed it and I did everything I had to do. And they gave me a way that I could follow up and see, you know, that it was counted. We are called to give of ourselves, to give our time, to give our resources, to serve God, to see God as our ruler, and to do so faithfully and generously. So go and do just that. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.